Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love today. This is David Love. I'm with, unfortunately, Lana Love couldn't be with us at the moment, but she may come in at the half an hour. But we do have Kamini, Pure Angel Kamini, with us today. And I'm really glad to have you, Kamini. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, David. The correct pronunciation for the world is Kamini.
Kamini. I'm so sorry. I should know that by now.
Okay. Yeah. David.
Considering I know how well I know you, geez. Yeah, David, right, that's right. Hey, just a name, just an identity. I'm not too attached to it, so but it is nice to have it right when you're talking to somebody. So you've been here before, and we had a great show, and we got great feedback the last time you were here to talk about self-sustainable living. Today we're going to have a show called on the topic of peace in our time, about peacefulness and about achieving a peaceful state on the personal, in our personal lives and on a global scale. So I think this is right up your alley, Kamini. And I know, we've had a lot of talks about different avenues for achieving peace, inner peace, and sort of aspects of the peaceful warrior and, the nature of peace and how we define that and what it feels like to us and what conditions need to be met in order to achieve a peaceful state of existence within ourselves and what it would take to achieve that on a global scale. So, Kamini, why don't you for those who don't know you, let us know about your background and your experience and how you came to be where you are with unified New Earth sanctuaries and also the Angel Star Ascension Collective.
Yes, thank you for that intro, David. I really appreciate all the work that you've done, and I appreciate you putting right thought and right action into forming this new earth we call our mother Gaia, our mother planet. My experience is coming to this moment right now is the experience of every human being on this planet, which is that of suffering and struggle in order to gain inner enlightenment and inner peace. So we go through these series together. Now, I got to a point where the guidance to create and found sanctuaries, along with other sanctuary creators such as Sasha Stone and the like. We all have been here a million times doing this very thing, so right now we're just making it a more conscious effort to include the planet as a whole into this new paradigm. Unified New Earth Sanctuaries is a ministry and that has self-sustainability as their religion, really. There is no doctrine or dogma except for to be sustainable emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically. So in that, we also have a collective called Angel Star Ascension Collective, which is a collective of angels, angelic star seeds, who are on the ascension path. And this way we can support and renew each other in each moment as we let go of these lower thought forms or to an even older self that we no longer need to have in our lives. And it would be a part of my ego that would want to go more into talking about myself and my experiences, but really it's a collective experience that I feel that every single human being I've connected to and contacted with has allowed me to see the brilliance in our own creations, which is the creation of suffering and the creation of experiencing struggling in order to challenge ourselves further and further upon our evolutionary path. So, to make a long story short, that is what has brought me to this place, is that collective of experiences and overcoming them and gaining inner peace, and thereby creating outer peace. So we always want to go to the 12 universal laws when we look to creating peace within and around us, because that is where we can find all the principles to apply in our everyday lives. And if anyone is aware of what the 12 universal laws are, then they know that the application of those laws bring a tremendous amount of peace an understanding and a cultivating your life within.
That's really good, because that would, I guess that would sort of define inner peace, which is where you said it all starts. And so I guess it would be a lot of work to sort of go over all 12 universal principles, but maybe you could just give us what you think the most important principles are, even though they're all important, but and all essential, of course, because we're all universal principles. But which ones do you think people might focus on first in their journey to find inner peace and ultimately outer peace in the world?
I'm going to go to the law of correspondence for this one.
Uh-huh.
Because the law of correspondence means that whatever is within us, our being, we express it in our outer being, which means that anything that is going on in our lives is a reflection of what's going on in our inner lives, which is what corresponds the inner with the outer. So because we have this awareness and understanding of the law of correspondence, meaning that I cannot ask for peace when I am not peace within.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like that, but then so without.
Yeah.
So below on earth as it is in heaven, it's whatever your inner state looks like is what will appear in the outer world and in your life.
And of course, that to achieve that means you have to dive deeper into what is not causing you peace sometimes, in that embracing of what is bringing you peace in that moment. You know, like this is always a now moment. It's always a underscore K-N-O-W. No, now. So right now we're talking about being able to create inner peace so that outer peace can correspond with your new religion, inner peace. Okay, just to make a long story short, I'll relate to you story, because a lot of humanity can relate more when we tell them parables, stories and metaphors and things of that nature. So here we go. A young man walks along a deserted path. There is no one in his way. There is nothing there, meaning there's no water to be seen. There's no life. He's in a barren place. And we like to call this barren place the void. And in this void, he can create something called images or mirages or illusions. Whatever he deems to think about will come about. So he's thinking, peace. I would like peace right now. Well, what is it right then and there that's not creating peace within you? His inner self said. He goes, well, I am lacking. I am lacking in love. There's no one around to love me. I'm lacking in food. There's no food to eat. I am lacking in water, but there's no water to drink. I am lacking. So in essence, his barren landscape continues to be even more barren because he's focusing on the lack.
Yes.
In his void, which does not bring inner peace. Now, we're in this same void, okay? And the young man states, I have peace. I am peace. Why am I peaceful? Because I am okay. I'm okay with everything as it is right now. Everything is perfect. Everything is beautiful. Now, perfection and beauty comes from an inner desire to create something that brings you excitement, fulfillment, desire, all these beautiful things. If we focus on all the things we have, whether it has physically manifested or not, then we can physically manifest it in our outer worlds, because our inner world is already complete as it is. There is nothing lacking. Now, if you were to ask a person, what is it that brings peace to you, or what is it that's not bringing peace to you, I can almost guarantee you that they're going to talk about the things that they are lacking, which does not bring them peace first. Now, if they talked about all the things that brought them fulfillment first, which creates inner peace, then we have a beautiful landscape in which we can create with.
So that's beautiful. So Komini, if I hear you right, it sounds like that maybe if we just stop wanting things and needing things, those things will be there and we won't feel lacking because we'll know that everything we need is already within us. I guess that's maybe why people become ascetics and they go on fasts from for food and for a lot of the things that they think they need, and they give up their worldly possessions, as a lot of avatars have done, just to challenge themselves to see that they can do that, and then they become enlightened knowing that they have everything they need and they can go off and be okay without these things, this thing we call non-attachment. I think Jesus and the Buddha did it. And so they learn that and challenging themselves to be ascetic. And I don't know that we need to do that if we can get that understanding that we don't own or possess these things and that we're going to be okay no matter what's going on in the outer world. The inner peace we maintain within ourselves is there, and we just need to get in touch with it. And that story really conveys that beautifully.
Well, non-attachment is it's a practice, because every single day we become attached or unattached to something. Oh, I love this song. I know I hate that song. Oh, I love this piece of fruit. Oh, I don't like it no more. You know, we are, we do that on an unconscious basis. We find things we love. We find things we hate. We want to place an opinion or a judgment or a criticism on things, right? Defined on how our spirit and our mood is at that moment, dictating our needs or desires. Now, what if we had no needs? What if we had no desires? But if we had no wants, wouldn't that create non-attachment?
I think it would. And I think that's what the peaceful warrior would do, or the spiritual warrior. I think that's the way of the peaceful warrior. And maybe even more than that, what about beliefs, attachments to beliefs and the need to be right, which is part of the ego, that need to have the last word, and the need to control the situation and to control things outside of us. I think that non-belief is another way to look at it, and rather be open-minded. We can have our beliefs, but we don't need to be attached to them so much that we rely on them.
Well, our belief systems are based upon our own inner belief systems of who or what we think we are, what our idea of self is. Mm. So the moment you let go of your idea of self, then you've already become non-attached to beliefs and concepts that define your idea of self. Okay. So if I say today, you know, Komini, today you're an Asian American woman living in California, doing her best to create awareness and be conscious with her everyday life and sharing that with the world. Does that bring you to a state of angelic nature? Would you call yourself an angel? Would you call yourself messenger? Would you call yourself a this or a that? Or you know, I've gotten a lot of it. And I'll tell you, I don't call myself anything. Heck, I don't even call myself Komini.
No, these are identities attached to the self that the self created. And the self has none of that. The self is very pure. Its consciousness is very pure. And all of those things are labels that the self claims. And I call myself a mystic, and that means really nothing. That's simply my personal belief system. It's just a word I use. And, you know, we're not our physical selves. We're not our names. We're not our genders. And we're not our religions. But what you just mentioned, I think that's a useful belief, you know, that I am a pure person and I am out to do good in the world. And you know, that's a sort of a winning attitude, and that's a good life management strategy for someone to develop useful beliefs that empower you. But still, it's not you. And that in and of itself is a belief which is useful.
Well, if we were to bring ourselves to a pure state of oneness, can you hold on a second, please? Go on, Dave.
Yeah, I have achieved that state of no self recently, and it was amazing to see how empty it was. It was almost scary just to see that there was actually nothing there. And I had been meditating for so many years, for more than three or four years, routinely, daily, practicing mindfulness meditation, and initially starting out with that inner self-examination, looking at observing my thoughts and feelings to see my true self. But even when we find that true self, authentic self, even below that, the consciousness is very pure, and there's nothing, there doesn't seem to be, I'm almost not there. It's amazing when you can maintain that state, and that's something that's very recent for me, even yesterday, just doing that meditation and seeing that. And it's amazing how your awakening just continues along from the time you're born, you know. It's really David? Amazing to keep that journey going. Yep, go ahead, Kami.
Oh, I'm sorry, I cut in a little bit here. I wasn't sure.
Sorry.
You were talking about meditating on peace?
I was talking about just how, you know, I started out meditating many years ago routinely, and I was doing just doing that inner self-examination and, you know, going through my awakening and just sorting out what my thoughts are and really observing my thoughts and feelings as a passive observer and not putting labels on them, really separating the outside influences to find my true self, you know, doing that inner self-discovery, finding that authentic self. But more recently, even as of yesterday, when I was able to maintain I got to that no self, that empty place where I almost wasn't there, and it was really almost kind of scary almost to see that there was none of even the true self, that true self, your true beliefs and your integrity and your values, that the thing that you stand for in this life almost isn't there either, you know. It's almost it's a very strange state, and it's amazing to continue in that journey. It's realize that your awakening continues to go on and on, and that when we talk about an awakening, it's a lifelong journey.
Yes, and it's a beautiful one too. It's great. Let's touch on meditation, because meditation is what brings us into the supreme and prime state of oneness in all things. We have to have quiet time. You know, we talk about putting our children down for their daily naps so that they can have their quiet time. Well, adults need their quiet time too. And it's in this quiet time that we call meditation that we all connect to our higher selves, our innermost beings, are creating that pure conduit, that undoubting form, you know, that state of peace where there are no questions, where there are no answers. There's just simply being. And being love is ultimately where peace is found, is universal and unconditional love. And if people are not directing that towards their selves, then they are going to find it difficult to achieve that state of peace. So the pure contemplation of self, yes, that's a beautiful place to start. The contemplation of life itself, it's a great place to go. But the knowing, the knowledge of the living library of your heart is where you will end up realizing that you never lost peace in the first place. More like you will discover it had been taken from you. Mm-hmm. More like stolen.
We've been discussing that in our groups and in our circles lately of that issue, and that's been the subject of a lot of controversy. And I do get pulled into a lot of different groups on Facebook with people trying to understand what you're talking about, and I've been struggling with that as well. I mean, I do understand dark and light, and I do understand, but even so, it's really difficult to advise people on, you know, even though we understand non-duality and illusion of duality, which is, you know, labeling things as positive and negative, there's still, you know, that we do get these outside influences in these situations in the world. I know Ferguson's the big one right now, and there's many others in the world. What, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, there's an orchestrated attack on humanity. And we hear this from so many groups that are nonviolent, peaceful protesters, that unlike, you know, what's been going on in America as of yesterday and today, that don't know what to do. How do we maintain our peace when we're being attacked on a personal level or on a global level? You know, and how do we work with everything that's going on? You know, it's very difficult. Life is very challenging, and I don't have any easy answers, because, you know, there is really no enemy. But if there is an enemy, the enemy is within. But there are things going on outside of us. There are situations that are very difficult to handle, and so, you know, we've gotten into many conversations about these issues, about how to handle these things and deal with them effectively. Philosophy doesn't always do that well enough for us. So,
well, let's first address the word attack. Because attack is the opposite of peace. You are attacking my peace.
Very true.
Peace is being attacked. You know, like you're attacking my peace. Well, if you're looking at it that way, of course you're always going to feel unpeaceful. I've actually went through a series of field trainings, I call it, and I'll relate this as a concept for everyone to be able to grasp, because everyone knows when they're feeling attacked, right? You go out, you're being attacked by chemtrails, you're being attacked by pollution, you're being attacked by other motorists, you're being attacked by taxes, you're being attacked all
over. You're being judged and criticized, or whatever it is your feelings are about the situations outside of you. You know, many forms of attack.
So now let's take away the word attack, because peace does not correspond with the word attack.
No.
We really like two opposites, you know, that attract, obviously. But let's take a look at the word peace. P-E-A-C-E and P-E-I-C-E. A piece of me. You're taking a piece of me that I am unwilling to give you. Therefore, my oneness, my roundness here of my peace being pie, you're taking a piece of my pie, which is, you know, my inner peace here. Now, if we were really, truly, you know, deeply peaceful, nothing can take our peace, because everything outside of ourselves is an illusion for us to learn from, right? So when I say attacking my peace, I've gotten it a lot, you know, and when I gave my will to God, and God's like, hey, right now we're going to train you on how to maintain peace in all areas. And I said, really? He says, yes, really. So in this respect, I've been attacked, per se. I don't say attacked. I just call it training, by individuals who claim, you are not love. You are not light. You don't mean what you say. You're full of S-H-I-T. You don't mean it. You're just a faker. La, la, la. You don't even like me. I've gotten everything thrown at me. And the only thing I could do is sit here and think to myself, why? Why is this happening to me? Why am I here in this space right now? Should I bring up my egoic side, my anger, fight against this person that supposedly is stealing my peace? Or am I still going to continue to express my love no matter what the adversities are against me? No matter what, we have to maintain the vibration of peace so that it can encompass and surround everything in our environment. And that means knowing within our heart and knowing and trusting in our soul that we are peace. We are peace. We are inner peace. And we are creating outer peace because of that. And there is nothing and no one that can ever take it away from us, no matter what we think. We know in our hearts that peace we are radiating will bring peaceful conditions to us. We have to know this. It's not enough to just believe in peace. Everybody just believe. No, we have to know we are peace. We are walking in peace. We are talking in peace. We are feeling in peace. We are loving in peace. We are singing in peace. We are communing in peace. We are a collective consciousness of peace. Full citizens on this planet today. That's how we have to go about it, because anything else threatens our peace, they say.
That's right, because peace being inside of you cannot be, if it's a feeling or a thought or a belief that's inside of you, it can't be removed from you, just as much as love or anything else. If it's within you, then you are that, and you must know that you are that, and that it is within you, and that it cannot be removed from you, and that outside of you it does not exist unless you perceive it that way. So that's a good point. But on a, you know, but on a more practical level, I mean, if you are maybe being physically attacked, and I heard this from another guru recently who said, and I don't know, this is a big time tongue in cheek, but he basically said, you know, you can be stabbed with a knife, and you can remove the knife and say, oh, I'm sorry, you stuck your knife in me, and it's got blood on it. Let me wipe it off and give it back to you. And with a smile, you know, this philosophy is certainly valid, but how do we deal with the more physical manifestation of, you know, the thing that we're talking about and trying to maintain our peace?
Well, this is something that's very, this is a particularly delicate matter. A lot of individuals on this planet today are not ready to accept, but I'm very willing to acknowledge that right now we have to look at our reflections. Mm-hmm. And we have to look at our conscious co-creations. Meaning that if you're unconsciously creating something, you're always going to be kind of in the dark saying, how, why? You know what I mean? Just like always in this like victimized mentality. When right, in reality, right. we are turning sheep into shepherds. You mm-hmm. know, we are victorious in all our experiences because we have created victorious experiences for ourselves to be in upon our evolutionary progression. Our mm-hmm. evolutionary ladder dictates what our experiences are going to be, okay? Because in reality, everything comes back into the law of oneness. I'm always going to refer to the 12 universal laws because with this right there, just the application of those principles, of these principles are very, is very important in finding this this feeling we call peace, okay? And even if you were to give somebody that feeling of peace, I want you to do a survey on like 100 individuals and say, hey, this is what peace is supposed to feel like. And it's like they say, well, if love bit you on the ankle, would you know it was love? You know, if peace came within you, would you know it was peace? You know, would you know what peace is? Because have you ever experienced it in your life to know it? You know, it's all very subjective, isn't it? So when we come into a state of saying, you know, like for instance, I got in an accident with my husband's car. And right the day before that, we got in an argument about something. And the next day, I was still thinking about the argument. And I, in turn, broke the car because I felt broken inside. This is how I define, like, what my thoughts are doing to me in my everyday life. You know what I mean? Where are my thoughts? Because my thoughts are going to create my experiences. So if I'm in a state of fear all the time, oh, I'm scared someone's going to break in my house, I'm going to lock their door. I'm scared someone's going to break in my car, so I'm going to lock the car. I'm scared, scared that, well, next thing you know, something gets stolen from your house. You know what I mean? So it's like you're creating that by thinking about it. And it's unfortunate that a lot of our brothers and sisters out there are unable to control their thoughts. And it's our time to have compassion for that. You know, compassion for those that aren't in a state of mind control, their own mind control, okay? That they're being controlled by outer forces, that they're being controlled by the media, that they're being controlled by films and by news feeds and this and that and the other. You know, they're not being controlled by their true selves. And we have to have compassion for those. And that's where inner peace comes from, in the nature of this man is yelling at me and calling me all types of names that is not who I am. It's time for you to affirm. That's when you say to yourself, I affirm who I am, so that when you tell me who I am not, I can become more stronger in knowing who I am. And that is their role. That is the defined role of all perceived attackers and criticizers and things of that nature. They're just there to help us realize who we are, not to be discouraged by it, you know? So when we say to ourselves, okay, this event, this terrifying event has happened to me. How could you say that I created this? This is a big, huge ordeal that I've gone through multiple sessions with individuals with, in that I am a victim. How could you say I created this for myself when I am the victim? Okay? And it's very tough to find inner peace when you are continuing to stay in a victimized state of mind, you know? Therefore, yeah. Your mind is now being controlled by an outer force, saying that they are going to hurt you in some way, shape, or form if you don't succumb to their manipulations.
And that's true. And that's not to say that those influences aren't there, because they're always there. And there may be some people that are being, and there are, that are being manipulative and deceptive and doing things, but they're always going to do that. There's always, the other side of this is that the conflict is a form of change, and change is a constant. It's always there. There's always conflict going on, depending on how you define conflict anyhow, and if you perceive conflict. But that condition that we use to define conflict is always in the universe and always going on within our bodies, with ourselves and our immune system and in our solar systems with planets and stars and in the animal kingdom and whatnot. The tests and challenges of life are always there. So it's up to us as to how we interpret it and how we deal with it. And one way is with the philosophy that you're talking about. And if everyone accepted that, certainly we would not have any of these situations. We would not have these wars, because we would all know ourselves. We would know the truth. And our reactions to these kind of events outside of us would cease. I'm not sure that that will happen. So coming back to a practical level, and I'm just challenging you a little bit for our listeners, what do you do if you see someone attacking your, again, going back to attack, I guess, in the physical sense, your family or something, a real life situation? How do we deal with that? From the peaceful warrior perspective, using the 12 universal principles.
Well, David, we're talking about, we're basically speculating right now on a future event that may or may not happen. And that's all based upon our thoughts.
Even in personal life, when these things happen, which they do, I mean, I worked as a criminal defense investigator, and there's a substantial amount of it going on in the world at every moment. And that can happen to everyone. And I'm not sure, you know, I'm sure using the victim mentality, we often bring ourselves into those situations. But I often wonder, do things like that just happen to people? Or is there always, are we always bringing ourselves into that somehow with our thoughts? Or is there ever a time that there's just sort of what they call the random act of violence? It's never random, but nonetheless, these are difficult concepts too, so.
Well, it's very tough to address that theory or question in a form of non-duality, because then we're talking about duality, right? So if we were going to go like really deep into the black and white duality, non-duality, right and wrong basis, then yeah, it could be very chaotic and very distorted and all that, you know, all those things. But because I come from the philosophy of knowing that every single soul has created and co-created those events or experiences to happen for their own learning and for their own growth. It's a very high concept, okay? And I understand that if you were the one who had been attacked or been abused or anything, you're going to be like, no, I would never choose this for myself. But really, commune with your higher self, commune with your higher consciousness and state, I know why I am in this experience, and I am willing to learn from this no matter what, so that it does not repeat itself over and over and over, not only in this lifetime, but in subsequent lifetimes after this.
And that is what happens. When you kill someone, typically in my own knowledge, my own spiritual knowledge, they come back. Spirits come back to learn that lesson, and they come back to repeat that with the same person. Play that out again until that lesson is learned. So war over thousands of years has never resolved our problems, and eliminating anything from our lives has never worked, because it always comes back. And we do know that, or at least we from Christianity, we understand that Jesus gave himself up, and that was a sacrifice, and maybe Jesus was showing that you can allow yourself to die and that it will be okay because you do have an eternal soul. But is that practical to do that in life, if we're faced with that situation? Do we allow ourselves to die in order for the other person to learn the lesson? Or is self-defense ever okay when we're talking about non-violence? Does survival instinct ever play a factor, or are we to always seek the higher and allow ourselves to just sort of pass away? I guess, and this is a question that I've been asked so many times by people in our groups, and I often don't have the answer. You know, I know what I would do, but anyhow, I guess we're really discussing this, and these are really vital, important issues in our society and in our global society. So,
what's the real question here?
Well, I guess it comes down to, you know, when we're talking about peace and nonviolence, does self-defense?
Oh, self-defense. Self-defense is a great tool. It's a great tool to learn how to stand your ground, to be more self-confident, to gain more muscular structure, to know our own bodies as being strong, and to not know ourselves as being weak. Heck yeah, self-defense is great. Now, is self-defense because you think someone's going to hurt you being great? No, because it invites those attacks to you.
True.
You're inviting, I'm going to learn how to do this because someone might do something to me and I might have to. It's just like carrying a gun. It's like, do we really need to carry guns? Because in our minds, we think something's going to happen to us if we don't carry a gun. Like, we have to use that gun just like we have to use our limbs to defend ourselves, right? So everything has to be done in the right way. meaning not right or wrong, more like left being logic, you know, and rationale and practicality, and right being spiritual, you know, and knowing. Yeah. In the knowingness, you know, of in the oneness of all things. So you can walk both lines. You can have one foot in the logical and you can have one foot in the spiritual. But when you walk that line, it's called the balanced state, then you know that, yes, self-defense and learning any type of martial arts, Tai Chi, Yi Zhang, you know, all these beautiful, beautiful practices does not necessarily mean that we have to use it against for violent attacks or to be Absolutely. Violent towards others. But when we talk about, because to me, the idea of self-defense because someone might attack us, I call it just self-empowerment, really, exercises. Mm-hmm. But it's just like carrying a gun. It's just like carrying a loaded weapon with us.
And that can be a fear-based, that's sort of almost a fear-based you know, think an action which you don't need to necessarily do, because oftentimes your words and speaking the truth with conviction and standing your ground against oppression or injustice or unfairness or whatever it is or abuse is enough. When you say no, and oftentimes that power that comes out of you, that inner power, is enough to diffuse that situation if you handle it the right way through even through ongoing mediation or any kind of conflict management. Sometimes just saying no alone with power is enough. And we hope that that always ends there. And what you're talking about is the way of the peaceful warrior or the spiritual warrior, or, you know, it's not to say that you're going to allow yourself to be abused, because self-love, I think, and self-respect has to do with, if you are physically attacked, that you love yourself enough or your kids enough that you're not going to allow that. But you don't look for trouble, and you certainly don't go into it with a fear-based mentality or ever try to invite that situation in. At least that's how I look at it. And I do look at it in terms of the serenity prayer and that golden Buddhist medium principle of balance and yin and yang, that, you know, you really, it's about making good decisions and using discernment, seeing the truth, and that's how I look at it. And I think that goes along with what you just said.
You know, David, because you have a criminal defense or private investigator background, I know that you have been exposed to a lot of the lesser or more gnarly things that happen in this world due to, like, psychosis and suppression and repression. We can go deep into the psychology of all these psychopathic behaviors. However, we're not going to do that. We're going to focus more upon our own inner ability to create peace as the sanctuary in ourselves and around our children and around our environment and around our home and for our families, because that's just a self-responsible thing to do. You know, it's just spiritual responsibilities to be peaceful, you know? And so when we talk about these things, I already can see what you've seen, and I'm telling you right now, you got to take those out. Just take it out of your mind, because right now that brings up those reflections within everyone else. Meaning that when we work with reflections, we look at the idea of ourself versus mm-hmm. the idea of everyone else's other selves.
True. They see what's in you, and they sometimes take that that aura, that energy on, that vibration. Sometimes thinking, you know, I know what you mean, and I do like what you said about it's heaven in the heart is where it starts, and I think that. It always starts with compassion and empathy and kindness. And not only does it start there, but in that love, you try to maintain that. And you do maintain that, knowing that you can. And you always stay with that feeling and that thought and that belief.
You know, one of the things that was very hard for people when I started remembering who I am and remembering my purpose and our mission and our collective consciousness, and I was able to plug into that collective consciousness and get to know every soul for who they were instead of what they were presenting to me. So I can look beyond and behind the smoke and mirrors of every soul. And that's when I started doing Soul Speak sessions. in that I was just always constantly speaking to that individual's higher self all the time, rather than speaking to their, I don't want to say lesser or lower selves, but their physical manifestation of who they truly are in the upper realms, you know? And it never really corresponded all the time, but I had to look beyond what didn't correspond, what created confusion in that. I think I'm this way and that way and this way and that way, and I believe, but really the higher self is saying, hey, those things that you think you believe are all programmed. You've been programmed to believe and to think those things since you were born here on this planet. You know what I mean? And so we fed you sugar. We fed you a lot of things that lower your consciousness. And now you're blaming yourself for your lowered consciousness, when in reality, there is no such thing as blame. You know, we have to just let go of this idea of who we think we are, or idea of who we, what we think others are. That if you're talking about universal soul love, stand on a corner, it doesn't matter what corner, and tell every single person that walked by for half an hour, hey, I love you. I love you.
Very true. Most powerful thing, validating thing you can ever say to someone.
Well, that's the thing, is people were very disbelieving when I said I love them. You don't love me. You don't even know me. You don't even know me, is the response. I said, I don't have to know who you think you are, because I know who you are in the higher realms, and that's who I love. I love everyone, and I love everything, and that includes myself first. So tell yourself, I love you. I love you. I love you. Just say it over and over and over and over and over until you start believing that, rather than I am fat, I am unworthy, I am something that I don't believe that I think I am, but someone told me I was that, so I'm just going to keep feeling bad about that for years and years and years, and just carry that trauma with you. You know, you got to change the tape in your head, because if you don't, it's going to thwart your ability to create inner peace.
Now, what about, and that's true, and you know, it's interesting, because when I touched that divine feminine essence and came into contact with it, like that goddess of love aspect of that collective, which you are, I heard the same message and from one of my past life partners, which was, I love the world, I am for everyone, and I am everyone. And it's just a very similar message, because I know that that same aspect is in you, speaking right now, which I heard before. So it's a very powerful statement, and it's very life-affirming, and very purposeful, and very valid, and appreciate you saying that, a message that I've heard before from the higher realms. It's really good.
One of the things we have to remember and recognize is that if you were to look at the crimes being committed, they're mostly being committed by males, and the females that are committing those crimes with them are being led by a male that they think they love or loves them or whatever, you know. And if you look at some of the psychopathic behavior, it's all kind of patriarch kind of ruled behaviors, you know. It is okay for us to sign our children up at 18, give them a weapon, and send them across the country and do what they do over there, you know. But if you were to give that kid a flower or a seed and say, hey, go plant 50 trees, you know, go fall in love with the earth. Go build farms, go build food forests, do something for humanity, stop killing them, stop killing ourselves. You know, when we stop paying taxes, even, this is pretty radical, right? Then we actually stop funding some of these warlike behaviors that we see our children coming back from, you know. And not to say that there is anything wrong with that, because a lot of individuals have been able to succeed, you know, coming from those places. And as far as I'm concerned, the military is the very place where awakening is going to occur, and that we should support them in their awakening, in their activation, in their ascension. Why? Because they are the ones that hold the weapons. They are the ones that are going to, let's say, be funded to perform martial law, need be. Huh? You know, if we decided to all collect rainwater, if we all decided to grow cannabis, and if we all decided to grow hemp, if we all decided to get raw milk, I mean, all these things that they banned in the U.S., you know, if we decided to not pay money to these corporations anymore, if we decided as a collective and as a community to not fund these actions against our own people, against our own family, against our own selves, then we could truly talk about this outer peace.
this is true. If we were as a collective consciousness to unite and say no more, we no longer accept these things and we know what we want, we know who we are, this would obviously stop. It would just have to. There's no other outcome if everyone says no more. I mean, there's no one to fight because we all agree. We've all united and come to an agreement that this is what we want. And we stick to it. That's just the truth, I believe. You know?
Well, the very nature of vibration in itself is to multiply and acquire more of its own likeness. So if your vibration is that of peace, you're going to acquire the same vibrations of peace to be attracted to you, and the opposite also will occur. So if you have a fear-based mentality, all your fears are going to come to you through the universal manifestation of the mind. Why? Because you've asked for it to come to you. You've asked for these things to come to you. And I hate to say the same old, cliche, you get what you ask for kind of thing. And then the Lord said, ask and you shall receive. And every single day, we don't know what we're asking for.
We're mental polluters.
You know, every day we say, oh, we don't want these corporations, but they go down there and they say, hey, I'm asking for more sugar in my food because I keep buying it. I'm asking for more chemicals in my food because I keep buying it.
True.
I keep funding all the things that are killing us. When am I going to be more self-responsible? When am I going to be more self-reliable? When am I going to achieve the highest state of being that I could possibly achieve in my physical body so I can watch my kids grow up healthy and alive and vibrant and full of soul consciousness, full of Christ consciousness?
Well, yes. You're bringing up two points. I think you're bringing up one about personal responsibility. And what personal responsibility means is that we have mind control. We have control over our own minds. We have self-control, and we are the ones that are creating reality. And if we take responsibility for the things that we're creating, we can manifest the reality that we truly desire. But we can't do that until we claim our thoughts and our beliefs and our feelings and manage them in a better way. And you know, the other side of that is that you do the best you can, but you have to know what your best is and what you're describing, and know that we can achieve a higher potential, but not feel guilty about it if you fall short of that. We're not sinners born into a fallen world. That's another false belief. So it's in taking responsibility. It's not about placing blame, but it's also not about guilt. It's just about knowing what you've created and knowing what you can do in each moment, that you can do better. And that's what personal growth and self-improvement is all about. It's about second chances in every moment, as long as you're in life.
Well, yes, it is. Every time you have a thought that's not going to bring you peace, you make sure you cancel out that thought with the thought that does bring you peace. And if you can't figure out what will bring you peace, then write down the things you think will bring you peace and focus on that. You know, I make it sound super easy, and I know it's not. But I just make it sound easy, and I make it sound fun, because for me now, after I've done like the initial work, it is fun. It's fun to let go of things that don't serve me. It's fun to, you know, be happy and practice music and just love every single being on this planet with all of my heart, knowing that every single being on this planet is me, is I am you and you are me. And that's it. If I was going to treat you in a way that wasn't right, then I am just treating myself in that way, which is not right, you know? So if I'm going to be so focused on saying, how am I going to be peaceful? Well, I am just simply going to create peace, whatever brings me peace for myself first, and then I can have enough inner peace to share it with others. Don't bother thinking, how can I share this with somebody when I don't have it myself? It's not true. It's not real. It's fake. You know, when you no longer require anything outside of yourself is when you really gain true inner peace. But that is just a practice. It's a progression, and it's a lifetime commitment.
It really is. It's a practice in each moment. And I struggle with it every day, just like everyone else. And that's what we're in here in life to do, is to practice those things and to learn those things and to just continue to do it in every moment. Know that we're doing the best that we can, and it is a practice. You know, it's not that we're not going to face these things, or we're not going to get upset, but that we go back to our center of power, that inner peace or soft love, and know that it's always there and that we can return to that center of power.
May I, we have actually come up with two plans, and if it's implemented, then it actually can renew, revise the world as we know it. The first one is, number one, we're all here to increase our vibrations to that of inner peace, right? We need to increase our vibrations to encompass that of peace, meaning that if we have a lowered vibration of like fear, thoughts, and things, we're going to stay in that vibration, which means that we're going to continually attract things within that vibration. Now, if you want to bring your vibration to that of peace, then within your own home, which is like corresponding with your inner home, you must let go of all the things within your home that is not increasing that vibration of peace. Like in our home, we don't have a TV. I have my computer, which we can look at things online if we want, but we don't have a TV, you know, because we felt like that was lowering our vibration of peace. Took it out. Okay. Then we saw the products in our bathroom that was not organic, or that was not, or that had chemicals in it, or byproducts that was toxic for our body. We removed that because that was impinging our vibration of peace. So for about 8 weeks, we're going to take one thing out of our home a week that we know is decreasing our vibration of peace, and we replace it with something that increases our vibration of peace, whether it's a plant, or whether it's you know, a painting, or whatever the article, or whether it's a guitar or an instrument or something that just increases our level of peace, you know, that is our 8 week peace program, is to take things out of your home that, you know, doesn't correspond with your vibration of peace and replace it with something that does. Okay. The second one is called, this is really radical, but basically this plan was, this vision was brought to me about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's really boycotting corporations. And the way we do it is through a course of like 7 months. Okay. So for 1 week out of the month, we decide, this is the very beginning, that we're not going to go to any type of corporation, meaning that we don't go, you know, to anything that's not a mom and pop for our food, our local co-op or local grub clubs. The only thing that's really tough is the gas portion of it. Until we can get vehicles that run on water and are made out of hemp, I can understand how that can be a little tough, because it's even tougher for my family to achieve that. But basically, for 1 week out of the month, we decide the first month to not shop at any corporations for just, you know, 1 week out of the month, okay? Or 1 day. We start at 1 day a week, or whatever, you know, whatever makes us feel good. Okay. The basis of it is that the next month you do 2 weeks out of the month. You know, the next week after that, or the next month, you do 3 weeks out of the month. You do the best you can to basically create healthy habits. You know, releasing our addictions is like being addicted to shopping malls, being addicted to, you know, Targets, and I've been there, you know, being addicted to Ross's and just shopping in general and just consuming in general. It's very tough. It's worse than, to me, any type of like drug out there, because shopping can just like go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I don't realize that the money that you're putting into these corporations are actually funding these wars that sabotage us, you know, and they fund the pharmaceutical companies, and they fund all these, you know, toxins and poisons that we are bringing into our home. And we don't realize these things until we stop shopping at them. You know, we have to stop shopping at them. And then after, you know, over the course of a year, you've already kind of phased out your addiction to Walmart. You phased out your addiction to Target. You phased out your, you know, addiction to Chevron. You phased out, hopefully you phased out your addiction to sugar. Hopefully you phased out your addiction to plastic. You know, hopefully we've phased out our addictions to these consumer societies that were created for our own sabotage. So when we look at it that way, we can actually slowly start redefining where we put our money into. Because money is just an illusion too. It's a piece of paper that, you know.
Yeah, it's a concept of the human mind that we've created. And there's no value in money other than what we give to it. There's no meaning to that piece of paper or coin or data that we give to it. And this is all power of choice that you're talking about. And it's good to know that we have that power of choice to make good choices for ourselves and what we want as opposed to what someone else wants. And just that's a very good action plan, a very good solution-based practical app action plan that people can put together as best they can, when they can, with intention. And Carmody, I think we might be running out of time soon. I'm not sure what we have left, but maybe we should wrap this up, and I'm sure we'll have another show. Did you have any last words for us?
Well, thank you for having me on, David. And I just want to let everyone know that there is nothing but love and nothing but peace, and everything else is just an illusion. And if we can just hold that consciously as a collective, then peace on this planet will be had.
Excellent. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show at the last minute. It was really nice to have you again. And we will have you, we'll look you up again. I know that everyone enjoys hearing from you.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
Okay. Take care. Lots of love.
Bye.
We'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Thank you for listening in. Goodbye.